Blog Talk Radio.
Had another bad dream. Again about the war.
Difficulties there, couldn't get in touch with her, had to switch browsers, phone went dead at the same time, Let's play another one, maybe she'll be back in just a little bit. This one here is called Roots. Here we go, Marie Wakefield.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Play the fucking music. I'm gonna get a part of it.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we've been having a lot of problems here with the technical. The phone went out and then the board crashed, and that's why I wasn't able to get back with you. I had to switch over to another browser and everything.
Okay.
How do you pronounce your first name?
It's Mary, as if it had a Y, just regular Mary.
Okay, I didn't know if it was Mary or Marie or how it was pronounced.
Yeah, no, just Mary. Yep, exactly.
Hey, we played that first song, the one that got the National Honor Award winner for Great American Song Contest about the war. Could you tell us how that song came about?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I was actually in Germany. We were doing a tour over there, my husband and I, a couple of years back. And we had a day off, and we went to a World War II museum. And it was not for tourists. It was a museum, like, for the German people, and it was all in German. And my husband speaks German, so he was translating it all. And it was very dark, and it kind of got me thinking about, the history that I had learned in school was, you know, we were the good guys, Germans were the bad guys, and of course, you know, under Hitler, that's true, the Nazis were horrendous, but there were a lot of just regular German people that got caught up in that as well. And I just started thinking about how war, like, there's no, everybody's a loser, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, how destructive it is for everyone. And here we are still doing it. And so it was kind of like just, it was this gray day and we were walking around and we did this museum and then, you know, we took the German trains, it was the S-Bahn, like we were really in those areas, Potsdamer Square and, you know, a lot of war memorabilia, World War II memorandum and plaques everywhere in Berlin. And it just got me thinking kind of like, you know, when are we going to learn? When are we going to be able to stop this? And it's not meant to be necessarily a political song, not even necessarily about any particular conflict, you know, but more like just in general as a species, when are we going to learn to, you know, be kinder to each other and get along? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just kind of the same way in the out in just the regular world. It's people treat each other like everybody's at a war with each other sometimes.
Right, right, exactly. Like how do we find compassion? How do we find, you know, common ground? And right, I mean, right now with this presidential election ramping up, you know, Democrats versus Republicans and just nastiness on all sides, and, you know, how can we, you know, we're all on the same side ultimately. You know, we all want our country to be doing well. We all want our planet to be healthy. You know, these are things that we, you know, theoretically can all agree on. And, you know, how can we just reach to find some commonality and understanding of one another?
Yeah, I'm looking for a good third party candidate to vote for.
Well, let me know if you find one.
If they come out on a ballot, that's about the only time you see it, is when you go in to vote, you see somebody's name you never heard of on there.
Right, you're like, who's that? Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Vote for those guys. You know they're not going to win, so you're not blamed, can't get blamed for anything that goes wrong. let's see. Now, this CD, is that what you're going out on tour to support the CD, or was the tour already set up before you did the CD?
Yeah, no, the CD came out last year, so we technically had our CD released last fall, but this is still our most current CD. You know, on a we're independent, we're you know, do it yourself all the way, and so we're able to release a record about once every 3 years. So this is still our newest record, and we'll definitely have lots of copies with us on this tour. But the tour is a yearly thing that we do, this U.S. tour. And I, it started because I used to live in Oregon. I had 10 years worth of musical connections and a fan base out there. And then when we moved to Nashville, we wanted to maintain those ties and keep that fan base growing. So we started just driving across, all the way across the country, and going and playing shows on the West Coast, and then driving all the way home. And over the years now, it's morphed into, oh, well, while we're driving through Iowa, why don't we play in Iowa, you know, and so on. Basically, now we have at least a show or two in almost every single state along our route now, and we have a nice big loop, and we'll be out about 9 weeks on the road. So it's become this epic adventure that we embark upon once a year, my husband and I, And we load up, we have the Subaru Legacy, we load it up with our instruments. He plays piano, so we have a really nice keyboard and the acoustic guitar. We have a small PA we travel with, and we are just self-sufficient, ready to go. And we're doing everything from, we have a couple folk festivals on this tour, down to house concerts in people's living rooms and everything in between, a couple nice listening rooms and even a couple bars out in western Wyoming. So a couple wineries on the list as well. So we have a lot of different types of shows coming up, and it's a real adventure. And this will be our, I guess, our eighth year of doing this cross-country tour. So, you know, we've got our favorite places, but we always seem to hit new places every year, too. We keep adding, so it's been really fun. It's been a really great adventure, and we leave in like 4 days. I'm really looking forward to that and to being on the road and seeing all our friends and playing shows and meeting new people and letting them hear our music.
Okay. How did you get started in music? I mean, what was about the age that you started writing songs or singing and everything?
Well, you know, I actually wrote my very first song when I was probably 6 years old, and it was because my little brother was crying, and I wanted to make him smile and laugh, and so I wrote a little song with our names in it, and his name is Greg, and I rhymed Greg with turtle egg, and I mean, it was just... it wasn't something that I really planned to do. It was just really a spontaneous thing. But, I was taking a lot of piano lessons at that age, and my grandmother was a professional pianist, and there was always music in the house, and music was just always really important to me. And I started just kind of creating music really before I even knew that that's what I was doing. You know, it wasn't like I consciously was like, I'm going to write a song now. It was just, I was always kind of tinkering around on the piano at first, and just finding melodies. And so it really happened organically with me. And I feel like that's what I've always been, you know, so that was my first song. But my first time really performing on stage was when I was 18. Actually, I started when I was 17 in Bend, Oregon, in a blues, rock, and reggae band. And I was singing backup. And then I moved from backup to singing lead on a couple songs. And then I moved to singing covers to bringing some of my own songs. And again, it was never like a conscious, you know, move that I sat down and plotted out, now I'm going to do this. It always happened very naturally. And I would play, you know, I always gravitated toward kind of the singer-songwriter types and really loved, my parents had a Johnny Cash record. It was, no, he's not really a singer-songwriter, but he is a songwriter. And we had a lot of John Denver in the house, a lot of Karen Carpenter. And I always kind of loved those, like folky, beautiful melodies, and that was just always where my heart was, and I guess I've just tried to follow it all these years.
Okay, I got another song here I was going to play. It's Celestial Blue. What's that one, the story behind that one?
Oh, the story behind that one. Well, it's a little, you know, the lyrics are a little open, but the what I had in mind, actually, was my mother, because she's deceased now, but she really was a brave woman, and she didn't have a super easy life, and my parents were divorced, and, you know, I think a lot of pieces of her life she felt let down, perhaps, but she always kind of kept fighting and kept making opportunities for herself. And when she was 50 years old, she left, she left Texas and moved to Oregon just to have new surroundings. And then when that wasn't enough of an adventure for her, she actually moved to Alaska on her own in her 50s. And taught English there for a year, and everyone was like, what are you doing? And I just thought it was so brave of her to just be off on her own like that and really, you know, make her own adventure and make her own brave choices. And then she passed away. And so in my mind, I'm singing to her, although I don't specifically tell that story in the song. If you listen to the lyrics, you're not necessarily going to get that story. But that was the idea that I had when I was creating the song.
Okay, let's listen to it now. Celestial Blue, here we go. Celestial Blue, Marie Wakefield. So when you wrote that song, where did it come from? I mean, was it like a long process or a short process, or how did it work?
You know, I remember at the time I was taking these long walks. I mean, I still go for lots of walks, but this was, we were living in a different area, so I was taking this walk through our old neighborhood in Nashville, and I had, you know, the song is in this 6-8 rhythm, and it was just, I had the melody pop into my head with the rhythm of my steps walking. And it was a long walk that I was taking. It was like 45 minutes, and I just remember the melody, you know, the melody would expand, and I just kept a steady rhythm going, and it was almost like a walking meditation, and the melody popped in, you know, the melody just kept growing in my head, and it moved from the minor to the major. And so by the time I got home, I went immediately to record it so that I didn't forget it, which also happens a lot. I'll have melody ideas, and then if I don't record them, I forget them. But this one I was able to get down. And I think that's why it kind of has that nice movement to it, is because it really was born, you know, on this kind of brisk walk that I was taking. And the melody, you know, who knows where these things come from? I really don't know. I think creativity is such an elusive, you know, if you try to sit down and go, okay, I'm going to be creative right now. You know, for me, it usually doesn't happen that way. It usually happens while I'm walking or in the shower or asleep at 3:00 in the morning, and I'll wake up and be like, oh, melody, you have to write it down. So I've learned to just try to, all I can do is be open and let these things come. But yeah, the melody was really born out of movement and walking. And like I said, the idea, I think, just came, you know, thinking about, you know, my mother in particular, and just kind of risk, you know, people that you know, are make these big changes in their lives and take these risks. And you know, the line about no safety net, no parachute, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of leap, you know, take a leap, literal leap of faith. And that, I think that was the idea I was trying to capture there.
Okay. Forget about it. You got your website information and all that you want to give out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is Mary Wakefield, and Mary is spelled with an E. So it's MareWakefield.com, MaryWakefield.com. And like we were saying, my husband Nomad and I are about to embark upon a 9-week coast-to-coast U.S. tour. So everything from Vermont all the way across to Seattle, then down to San Diego, and back home to Nashville. So it's a pretty solid loop, and we'll be out until early November. I think we're home the day before Election Day. So it's quite a long trip, but we're looking forward to it. And all the dates are up on the website. And also, if anyone would like to, they can join our mailing list from the website. And we send out free MP3s once a month, free new songs to everyone that's on our friends list. So we'd love for everyone listening to come join us and join our circle and keep in touch with us. And we'll send you free music. So that would be fabulous.
Okay, that free music, is that new music or stuff you're working
yep,
on now?
Yep.
What is it?
It's usually new. I mean, if we get a really great live recording of a song, you know, we may send that out one month, but usually it's been, you know, newer songs that haven't been recorded onto an album yet. So yeah, it's good for us too, because it's a good kind of trial run. It's like almost like a pre-production of each song. Like we'll make a recording for the mailing list, and we'll get ideas of what we might want to do for the album. So it's really great for us. It's part of the creative process, and I feel like it's a good way to stay in touch with people and to let them know what we're up to musically as well.
Do you take any feedback from the people when they listen to it? Do they give you ideas about changes or anything?
You know, that hasn't happened yet, but I would certainly welcome that. I absolutely would. We have, we've taken feedback in the form of requests. Like we've had people you know, say, oh, can for next month's mailer, can you record, you know, this song? Like, we have a new song, Clementine, that's an alternate version of the story of the folk song, My Darling Clementine. And that's a new song. It's not on a record yet, but I've been playing that out for a couple months now at shows. And so some of our, you know, some of our fans and friends regionally have written and said, oh, can you please record Clementine and let that be the next. So we did that for August. We recorded Clementine, and we did that because of requests from people. So it's nice to know what, you know, what songs are our crowd favorites too, what songs people want to hear more of. So
hey, I got
good feedback.
I got one question for you. If I joined your mailing list and then you send your songs out, it would be okay to play them on the station?
Oh, sure, if you want to. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you
more.
Know, for us, yeah, absolutely. I feel like at this point, you know, we would just love to have as many people as possible hear our music and, you know, just be exposed to new audiences. So, yeah, please feel free.
Oh, okay. I'll do that after we get off the air. I'll go and join the mailing list before you then.
Great. Yay, thanks.
I noticed your CD that you had wrote down at the bottom is this song here, Dear Jay. You said for people that like, let's see, for lovers, for fans of those long ballads. Now, how did
What was that? Oh, I didn't hear your question.
How did that come about? Did you specifically set out to write a long ballad, or it just turned out that way?
Oh, so, well, that song, try to make this not a super long story. But did you listen to the song? Have you listened to the song?
Parts of it. I hadn't listened to all of it yet.
Okay. It's like 8 minutes long. So that song was literally a letter because it's a letter to, you know, an old flame, an ex-boyfriend, actually, you know, probably my first real boyfriend. It was a very intense period of my life. When I was 15, I ran away from home, actually, and went to Mexico.
Wow.
Kind of a crazy story. And met this man. He was 23. And I lied about my age, so he didn't know how young I was. But he was really wonderful. He was a British soldier and stationed in Belize in Central America. And so we met in Cancun, where I was staying and working. And it was just a really tumultuous time. And we fell in love as much as you can at 15 and 23. And I actually went down to Belize with him after that and lived on the British Army base for a while. And eventually, you know, he figured out my true situation, that I was only 15, I'd run away from home, and he bought me a plane ticket home, a really wonderful man. And, you know, it was a great connection, but we lost touch. And just recently, I had gotten a Facebook message from someone that had been kind of a mutual friend that we had known at the time. It was very out of the blue. But that message was telling me, you know, giving me an update on JJ is the man that I met in Mexico, the British soldier, and giving me an update on JJ and mentioning that that he had a bad motorcycle accident and had almost died and had lost a leg.
Mm.
And so that this came to me just completely out of the blue on Facebook. And the mutual friend, the person who Facebooked me, didn't give me a way to get in touch with JJ. So he just kind of, you know, dropped in and said, hey, how you doing? By the way, here's this story. And hey, see you later. And so there was so many things I realized I wanted to say to him, you know, now as an adult looking back and realizing what a great guy he was. And also, of course, how badly that experience, that whole trip could have turned out for me, but because, you know, because of him and people like him, I really was okay and managed to make it an experience of growth. And so I really just literally sat down and wrote him a letter, pen and paper, you know, Dear Jay, and wrote, I mean, it wasn't literally word for word, but it was very close to what the song turned into. But I had no way to send it to him. I had no way to get a letter to him. And so I just sat with this letter for, you know, a week or even more. And because I just express myself through music, that is the medium through which I am most comfortable expressing myself, I put that letter to music, you know, never thinking that I would ever record it or perform it. And that's what that is. It's a letter. And so to put it to music rhythmically, I did wind up editing it a little bit, but honestly, not very much. And if you listen to the song, you'll notice it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't really repeat. Like, it doesn't have a chorus that repeats. Like, it very much is a flow, like an actual letter. And then what happened at the end was that?
I don't think I've ever heard quite that kind of a story behind a song before. And on all the shows that I've done, we got to listen to that one right now then. Dear Jay, here we go.
Okay.
Really long time. I hope you can forgive the intrusion into your life. I had to write when they told me about your motorcycle accident and how you almost died. You almost died. Often every time we're in Holland, I think you might see a poster come to a show, and that never did happen. Still, I always assumed I would see you again, 'cause I find that I still have something to say. And then you stopped calling, and I moved again, and we lost touch. and I can't recognize you in all these new photos. 32 facial fractures and reconstructive surgeries, and I can't even imagine that. You almost died. But I know how strong you are. A spirit capable of chasing down and tackling Perseus in the middle of the Mexican night. On top of a mountain, they say you're married now with your own little boy, and I'm so glad to hear it. I always knew that you'd make a great father, and I'm married too. We live in Nashville, Tennessee, and we have a happy life. It's a very I don't want to intrude. I know I've got no right. I just want to say thank you once again. Sorry, I was so inconsiderate right to the end. And one more thing, there's one more thing. I really loved you then. I may not have shown it very well, but you were borders of Central American countries, and I will never do these things again. I will never do these things again. I will never live that way again. I will never be that free again. I will never love that way again. I will never breathe that deep again. I will never do these things again. End of this letter, 'cause it feels like we're talking, and then when it's over, it'll be like another goodbye. I regret one last time that I never came over, never saw you again. We never got true closure, though I know we've both moved on. I guess some doors eventually close on their own. But you should know that if we never speak again, you are still a part of my life. And I had this dream about you. We were holding each other and crying. I dreamed this right before your accident, and when I went back to my dream journal, I found another dream that I had totally forgotten about. And in that other dream, I lost my own leg in a motorcycle accident.
Dear Jay, that's a pretty powerful song there when you think about the whole story together.
Yeah, it's a doozy. It's a doozy. Well, and we really...
Do you sing that when you're out performing much, or do you not sing that being the length
live? I have never performed that live. Not yet. Not yet.
Or what?
Do I think I ever will? You know, if someone asked for it, it would take a very special situation because, you know, people would really have to want to hear it. I think, you know, if it's, it would take probably a request and people being willing to,
It almost would be almost too powerful for some people to understand, I think.
Well, you know, it's funny because we really debated whether or not to put it on the record. And I, you know, by the way, I eventually did get in touch with JJ, and he's heard the song, and I asked his permission to put it on the album. And I even linked, in the liner notes, there's a link to he has a charity, like Biking for Charity website too. So, you know, in the end, we're in touch now, and he knows the song is on the record. And, but it's actually been the one that's gotten the most attention from people, the one that's really moved people the most. You know, just last week I had a phone call from a woman who told me that she had lent the CD to a friend of hers, and her friend was listening while driving and was so engrossed in the story, the Dear Jay story, that she almost ran a stop sign and almost, you know, she didn't get in a wreck, thank goodness, but she was so just kind of taken away by the story that you know, she probably shouldn't have been driving. And I've heard grown men tell me that song made them cry. And you know, we debated putting it on because it's such a personal story. It's such a specific story. But I think people are responding to the authenticity. You know, it's a very real story. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes, especially this day and age, people really want, they want things that are real. You know, we have these reality TV shows and it's all this really crazy fake stuff and, you know, over dramatized, whatever. And I think people can hear that this is just a genuine, open-hearted letter, you know. So
it's actually it's quite interesting, and what a lot of people can make up, you know. I mean, the story and the song together, it's really, like you said, it has an emotional effect upon you when you're listening to it, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for playing it. I don't know if it's gotten a lot of airplay because of the time. It's like 8 minutes and 14 seconds or something. So it's hard for DJs to even, you know, find the time to put a song that long in. But it has gotten play here and there. I get letters from DJs, emails from DJs, and I see that it gets spins occasionally. But I think it's more of a listen at home kind of song. And it would take a very special kind of performance setting for us to do it live. I feel like I could do it, but you know, it would take a very special setting for that to happen, I think.
Okay. What about the next one? I'm looking at the folk songs. What's that one? I know you've got it titled the Recession Song behind it. What brought that one about?
You know, that is, I was listening to the radio. it was an NPR show. This is a couple of years ago now, kind of in the real height of the recession. And there was literally an investment banker type person, a guy who had been, you know, laid off. And before he had ever started banking, you know, in his teenage years, I guess, he'd been a guitar player. And so he went back to the guitar and picked up the guitar and recorded an album. And, you know, I don't know that he ever toured, and I don't even honestly remember his name, but the album was not bad. And I just had this idea, you know, what would happen if everybody that gets laid off from these corporate jobs turned to music or turned to art, you know, and I loved that idea, that thought, and so I was exploring it a little bit in that song.
Okay, let's play it right now then, folk songs.
NPR ran a story yesterday about another Wall Street layoff of some hot-shot big executive. He picked up his guitar he hadn't touched in 30 years and wrote a song. And I thought, hey, now wouldn't it be cool if everyone who lost a job they thought was always gonna be successful
come to the determination that if everybody could do something creative, like write a song or that like that, you know, or exercise their creativity more, we'd have a lot more peaceful world. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely true, you know. Just less focus on the money and the consuming and more focus on, yes, something that feeds the soul, exactly. You know, living off the land, whether it's gardening or, you know, farming or spending time with your dog or, you know, playing guitar, all these things, you know, kind of simpler things that don't necessarily generate an income, but can really, yeah, make you feel at peace and just bring some simple happiness, simple joys.
Yeah, it's kind of offensive to me when that's the first question somebody asks you, but if you're doing something like music or whatever, and they ask you, how much money are you making out of it? That's kind of offensive to me. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, well, it's not really the point, I guess. You know, it's not, I mean, we're not doing it for the money. If we were only interested in the money, we'd all try to be bankers, I guess, although maybe not nowadays. I don't know. I don't know where the money is anymore. But, you know, you have to just kind of follow your heart. It's a cliche term, but I think that's the only true path. You know, I've had times in my life where I've been frustrated with, you know, just the inability to try to make a living and you know, thinking of turning my back on music. And every time I have even taken one step in any other direction, you know, I thought about being a journalist. I've written in the past for newspapers and magazines before, so that's something that I, you know, that I know I can do, and it's usually been music writing. But every time I think about walking away, it's almost like a physical, physiological reaction in my body. Like when I get these panic attacks and I wake up in the middle of the night with dread and you know, I haven't even had that thought for more than a decade now. So it's you know, but when I used to even think about walking away, something just, you know, physically inside of me would let me know that wasn't the path. I needed to just stay on this path, you know. And right now, I mean, we're not rich and we're not famous, but we are loving every minute of our lives. You know, I found my beautiful husband and we make music now together, and he's the producer. I mean, he plays piano with me on tour, but he's the producer of this record and my other two, the next most recent records. I have five titles total, but the past three have been made with him. Nomad is his name. And we have a life in music together, and we get to travel together. And we just had a great show last night here in Nashville at the Bluebird Cafe. We played, and there were people from all over, from Oklahoma and Texas and the Northeast. And we got to meet them and share music with them, and a lot of them took home CDs and signed the mailing list. And it was just, it really feels like this is the path we need to be on. And, you know, maybe I'll never reach millions of people, but even if I get to reach, you know, dozens of people, or, you know, maybe a couple hundred people. I mean, we have over 1,000 on the mailing list now. So, you know, if I get to make a connection with people, and if people get to hear this music and they're somehow, you know, their lives are a little enriched by that, or they're, you know, they're able to think about things a different way, or if it's just, you know, if you can connect with people on that level, I think that that's all you can really ask from life, from a career, you know.
Yeah, it's better when you do it yourself and you know how you want to do it than have it, somebody else telling you. You know, some of these groups and whatever, they get caught up in the corporate structure of music, and they get just told everything to do, and it's not really what they want to do sometimes, I don't think.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I had offers from labels that I didn't take, you know, but at this point, you know, with the internet, and it seems like the, you know, labels, I mean, they're still helpful in some ways, but they're not as necessary as they once were. And you know, definitely at this point, we'd have to think about it and make sure it was a good offer. You know, we wouldn't just take the first contract that came our way anymore, because we have found this way to do it ourselves that is working, and we are growing the fan base, and we are expanding, and we are growing musically as well. And it's a good life. I feel blessed that I get to live it.
Okay, the next song I'm looking at is If We Go, You Go. What's the story behind that one?
Oh gosh, well that's a heavier song. You know, musically that kind of calls back to I had a classic rock period in my youth where I was listening to a lot of a lot of heavier like Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and even like some heavier stuff. There was some Metallica in my collection for a while. So I think musically you can hear that's the most kind of rock and roll song that we have, and the story, I mean, you'll hear in the lyrics, it's kind of a prayer from someone who isn't really convinced that there even is a God. So you're talking to someone that you're not even sure exists, and that's kind of the story behind that one.
Okay, let's play it now. Here, if we go, you go.
God, you know I'm not always a big fan. Trusting in you with some kind of divine plan. Sometimes I think you're not even around. You never
go, you go. Mary Wakefield.
That's it.
That's a, it's kind of like, I don't know if you ever think about it, but when you die, everything that your memory is gone, you know, unless you have somebody to carry on your memory. And I think that's kind of maybe the way you look at your music. Is that the way you look at it sometimes?
Like to leave a legacy. Is that what you're asking?
A legacy of what, who you, kind of who you were and everything, you know.
I don't know if that's, you know, I mean, maybe that's inadvertently kind of a byproduct of writing these songs, because I do tend to write, you know, personal songs, and I write, you know, you write what you know. But I don't think that's the driving force behind what I'm doing. Like, I just feel kind of compelled to create songs it's more like I just want to create the best songs that I can and help us get in touch with emotion. I think that's if you talk about a purpose of art, you know, not just music, but even like paintings or whatever, it's to help us kind of get in touch with our humanity, I guess, a little bit, like feel something or, you know, emotionally. I guess if I had to have a goal other than just to do the best I can, it would be, to make people feel something and to try to communicate that way through music.
Okay, the title song on the album is Meant to Be. What's the story behind that, Meant to Be?
That is kind of one of those, whatever happened to so-and-so songs, you know, you're lying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and thinking about, you know, an old love and wondering if they think of you.
So that was just kind of like, it wasn't about a specific event, it was just kind of a thing that was just what some people think about when they have a quiet moment or to themselves.
Well, I might have had a specific person in mind, but I didn't get too specific with this song. But it's more about that feeling of, you know, there's some people that, you know, a relationship or romance kind of runs its course, but for some reason you keep kind of, you know, maybe if you didn't get to have full closure, or, you know, if it kind of ended this open-ended way, then you might still, you might kind of go back and still think about them. It's funny because this was an older song that we redid for this record, and it's a pre-Facebook song. And I've heard statistics now, you know, with Facebook, it's so easy to find everybody. And there was some new, like, divorce lawyer that was saying that Facebook is cited as a cause of, like, 70% of divorces nowadays or something, because people are actually, when they get this whatever happened to so-and-so feeling, instead of just meditating on that, they actually go look them up and maybe get into trouble. So this is kind of a pre-Facebook song, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Let's play it now then, Meant to Be.
When I think about you, here's what I think about. How you never walked in, so you never walked out. And I think about you, playing such a cool, what a burden to lay on your beautiful heart. And I think about me, how I always hung around, and I like to shut up just before I shut down. And I think about things with a delicate touch, and I think about me. I'll never be smart, and I'll always hold on, and I'll always fall hard. And I think about fear and the time that we stood at the top of a wire, and my
to be. That's the title song from the CD, Mary Wakefield.
Yay. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for playing and talking with me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. We got a few more minutes if you want to stay around. I got an hour and a half scheduled right here.
Oh, okay. You know, I didn't realize it was, I actually have a 2 o'clock appointment that I'm already a little bit late for.
I guess we could stop right here then if you got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
On the show and playing your music and everything. I'm sorry about the technical problems we had at the beginning of the show there.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for playing the record and for talking with me. I really, really enjoyed talking with you and just you made me think a lot about music and why we do it. And
Let me get that free music every month so I can play it on the station there.
Oh, yeah, please feel free. Fabulous. We'll be in touch with you then. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for being on the show. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.